You're listening to the Moms Working Overtime podcast, the community of women you've been searching to find for so long. We bring together our mamas in waiting, brand new moms, stay-at-home moms, working moms, and the moms who maybe just have a little bit more experience than the rest of us. We're all here for community, support, and finding ways to show up better for our families each and every day. I'm so grateful that you're here, and I hope you love what you find on today's episode. Welcome back to the Moms Working Overtime podcast for our Thursday interview series. Y'all are going to love this one because she and I are already laughing and just talking about how messy motherhood is. So this is going to be perfect. I keep telling her this is exactly what we're looking for here in the MWO community. But I am so glad that you mamas keep coming back week after week. And I know that as much as you love our pep talk episodes, you look forward to these interviews and just all of the other incredible mamas that we can bring in and hear their story. And so today I have yet another awesome interview. We have been figuring out through motherhood over the last few weeks how to get on to record together because we are both just in the trenches, just like you all are. And I have with me today Anne Marie Lammers, and she is a mom of six. She's a pediatric ICU nurse, and it's just in the chaos, in the trenches, just like all of us are. And I love what she's going to share today. I personally am super excited about this episode, but welcome to MWO.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
It is. We're going to have a good, I told her, we're just here to chat. She's in a coffee shop. I've got my coffee still next to me that I probably will reheat about 10 times before the end of the day. And we're just going to hang out.
It's how it works. That is mom life.
100%. So before we get started, I just want you to kind of take a chance to introduce yourself and let the audience get to know you.
All right. So like she said, my name is Anne Marie. I live in the beautiful state of Minnesota. Just kidding. It's a frozen tundra half the year. It's fine. But I have six kids ages. Let's see. My baby is almost two, up to 12. I'm actually going to have a teenager this year, which is a whole other level of crazy. How did I get here? I am a retired, technically, pediatric cardiac ICU nurse. I spent the majority of my career over a decade in the peds cardiac ICU. I have a massive love and appreciation for modern medicine, but also see the pitfalls and the downfalls of it. Mm-hmm. And so that's where my passion really came from, to teach people about holistic health and really getting to the root cause of whatever is going on in your body, whether that's with your family or whatnot, but then using alternatives to take care of your mm-hmm. family. So while I know when it's appropriate to use modern medicine, natural things and holistic things are actually what I grab first for 99% of things that happen in our life. Mm-hmm. And so I love teaching people that balance of being confident in that motherly intuition and that like gut guidance, while knowing when it's appropriate to tap into a trusted provider.
Absolutely.
I retired back in 2020 when everything was happening. I had my fifth in April of 2020 and just kind of kept staying on maternity leave and really kind of saw some of the writing on the wall and decided I really don't want to go back, and then just started pursuing this as my full-time passion. And then I homeschooled too because I, you know, needed something else to do and yep. didn't have enough.
Never have life. Enough, especially with six kids. You just didn't have enough.
It's totally fine. It's great. I love it though. It's a really fun way to connect with my kids. So
absolutely. And it's so funny, Anne Marie, because I know my audience is listening to you right now and they're like, oh, well, it doesn't surprise us one bit that Elena is bringing her on to interview because of everything we have in common. I left my career as an occupational therapist in 2020. And just accidentally never went back, but left and started working in the nutrition and wellness space and got really obsessed with, like you said, modern medicine has a time and a place and it's very valuable. And I love all of my practitioners that are, you know, are in our lives or that have been interviewed on the podcast. We have tons in the community. They're amazing. But there's also a place for trying something more holistic and something more natural and just being aware of what we're putting in our bodies. And so no one in the audience is surprised that I'm bringing you on to interview, and they know I'm all amped up about this. But there's a question I ask every single mom who comes to interview on the podcast, and it's, who were you before you were a mom, and are you the kind of mom you expected yourself to be?
So This is an interesting question because I'm even a different mom now than I was with my first couple kids. I didn't really know what to expect of motherhood, I guess. But one of the things that was kind of a really hard pill to swallow was, realizing that I was very much indoctrinated in my medical education. And so I went into motherhood just doing what I thought was normal, all the normal things, and realizing that that was just not where I wanted to stay. And I'll be honest, with my first, I did not listen to my gut, and I have like some sadness about that. And trust learning to trust your intuition is just something that I think is a skill that we kind of grow. But I am definitely a much different parent now than I was then. I do things much differently now. We're like versus then, I was not into holistic stuff at all, and now I'm like very clean, holistic. Even with medical procedures and things like that, like, we choose to not do a lot of stuff.
When you dip your toe into it, it kind of just sucks you all in, though. I always say, like, I was actually talking to a mama last week and I said, I wish I didn't know everything I knew because now it just pulls you in and it makes you want to research every single thing. And it really makes you a little obsessive with figuring out what's necessary and what's right and making those decisions of when to use, traditional healthcare and when to go holistic. So it's like the gateway drug. Once you're in, you're all in.
Really does, yeah. And it's a good thing. It's so good to learn more. And a lot of people are like, oh, my parents judge me for my choices because they think what they chose, was bad or something like that, or were mad that they chose differently. And it's just, people from that generation, they just didn't know, or they didn't have access to the information. A lot of doctors are like, don't judge my medical degree with your Google degree. Well, sorry, but there is so much information online now. That's not even an argument in my opinion. And parents back then, they just didn't know. They had to really trust their doctor, and the doctors knew best. And I think doctors were maybe trained differently back then than they are now. And so you have to do your due diligence. And that's one of my other passions is like, if you're gonna, do things with your family, do your due diligence to educate yourself, be truly informed so that you can make a confident decision, whatever that decision is.
Whatever it is.
Be confident in it and really understand what you're doing, right? So that's my big thing. But yeah, it's an interesting journey, that's for
It
sure.
really is. It's so funny because even when I had our second, like you said, you gain confidence and you start listening to your intuition a little bit better with each one. And I would go to my doctor and I'm like, I found this research article and it's peer reviewed and it's a randomized controlled trial and I'm really interested with the outcome. And she's like, oh my gosh, Elena, I have no other patients like you. But
She should.
it's the
Come
truth
on.
is we should be paying attention to that stuff. So I feel like you already dove a little bit into why holistic health and what led you down that path. Is there anything else when it comes to that story or that why, that driving force behind seeking out holistic practices that led you here?
I mean, for me, when I just started questioning things, can we talk about vaccines on here? Is that like
Yeah,
allowed?
go for it.
So a lot of people ask me when I started like questioning things, and that was when my oldest was a baby, and I actually got shingles on my face, super fun. And he ended up getting chickenpox, and our provider when he was one was like, okay, he needs his varicella vaccine, and I was like, but he's already had chickenpox. That what do you mean? And he's like, oh, he was too young to create immunity, and I was like, that's not how this works. What? So that was when I really started asking questions and trying and just started questioning everything that I knew. And at that time, I was also introduced to essential oils, which I knew nothing about those as well. Not even for aromatherapy. I didn't know anything about that. And once I really started diving into that information, I was like, okay, why aren't we using oils more? Like, this is so cool. Like, there's all these this information and studies on the power of essential oils and herbs and homeopathy. Like, why aren't we using this more in like medical practice? Like again, all the babies I took care of needed modern medicine. My daughter fell out of a tree and broke her arm. We needed modern medicine. It's really great for like trauma, ER specific care, right? But general health and being preventative and proactive in your health is where, you know, it kind of falls flat. And so once I started down this rabbit hole of like, okay, I really should have followed my gut around vaccines and what is more of this holistic stuff, and just learning more about it and then incorporating it into our lives, it takes time, especially like as a nurse, because I feel like, again, that indoctrination was so strong. My reactions around like fevers, for example, I get like terrified. And it was like having to rewire my brain with all of this and using holistic health as our first line of defense just took some time.
I think that's a good way to think of it too, because I do think there's some fear around, we're going to talk about this in the podcast, around things like fevers, right? Like, where do you draw the line? Well, the thing is holistic health is that first line of defense. That doesn't mean, oh, you're the worst if you end up using some a fever reducer, but just knowing that there's things that you can try first that often will make a pretty big difference, and then you don't even have to stress about the rest.
Well, and a lot of people think like, well, you're treating something is only using medicine. But the reality is that we are treating it with holistic things, essential oils, red light therapy, baths, whatever. Like that is technically trying to treat it and help support the body. It's just using other things besides medications.
Yep, absolutely. I want to hear your take on this. There's so many questions I could ask you. We could probably interview for hours and hours and hours, but I wouldn't do that to you. Don't worry. But a question that I think comes up a lot, especially with holistic health, is does it benefit our child's body, even our own, to be sick every once in a while, and just knowing how to let certain illnesses run their course because of the benefits that they can have.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about childhood illnesses is they are literally building their immune systems. They're creating their immune systems. For example, my mother had measles, mumps, and rubella as a child. And that woman, I swear, is never sick. Like, and if she gets sick, it's like for 12 hours. Like, it's insane. So yeah, there's benefits to some of those illnesses. I'm not saying like go get your kids sick or something like that, but you know, there's don't be afraid of it is what I'm saying. And you know, kids normally, I think, well, what's the number now? I can't remember. Get like 9 to 12 colds a year or something like that. Like maybe it was just 9 colds a year. Like that's average. That's normal. It's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean that your holistic stuff you're using is not helping or not working. I always laugh when people are like, oh, I use homeopathy and oils and my kids never get sick. And I'm like, I don't believe you. But also that's not
I'm trying to think
necessarily a
of a
good
week
thing.
that we haven't had a sick kid.
Right? I got six kids.
I was gonna say,
They're like petri dishes.
you're never a healthy household.
There's always something, I swear. But like it's not being afraid of it and knowing that yes, these things are serving their bodies. And so I think when you're supporting them in a natural way, it's also just helping their bodies through the illness, maybe a little faster, maybe with a little bit more or less discomfort, stuff like that, right? And that's not a bad thing.
Well, and I always think about too tying in the gut health component to the immune system and how wrecked our guts are. And when you mentioned that, you know, your grandmother hardly ever gets sick, and when she does, she zaps it right away. Well, I think that generations before us had so much better gut health that that's a whole nother factor we're dealing with our kids, is they are more susceptible to things. And while it's not the worst thing ever for them to get these little coughs and colds, I think they do come about more often because we don't take care of our gut, which is our line of defense inside the body.
I mean, if I could talk about the food industry, I would go on a rampage. It
You can
is
go off here.
just,
They know me.
oh, it is horrendous. And here's the reality is that we pay the most for healthcare in the United States. We pay the most. It is a $1 trillion industry, right? It's an industry. They want to make money
Yes, they're
and
profiting.
they're profiting. It is, we pay so much for healthcare, but are we healthier for it? No. Not like, no, we're not. And America, the food that we eat, I just cannot. It's insane to me. Like cheese balls, that's not real food. That should not be allowed as food. I'm sorry.
It's scary. Well, and just like we talked about holistic health, when you start diving into what's in our food, it's
Oh,
terrifying. Not that it
it's
should
so
be a
bad.
scare factor, but it is terrifying. And when you start figuring out some of it, it just sends you on a spiral. I mean, I know there are people in our lives that probably think we're crazy for how obsessive we are about what's in our kids' food, but when you really start reading the research, it is just that. It's terrifying.
Is. It really is. And the thing is that I find it so interesting that people think that eating whole, healthy, nutrient-dense, nutritious food is dieting.
Yes.
And it's like, no, that's
So
just,
restrictive.
it's normal. Like, how about we just normalize? We're just eating normal food,
Yeah.
right? Versus all the packaged stuff. And don't get me wrong, like I'm all for convenience every once in a while, right? Like it's I'm not making everything from scratch in my
Yep.
home. I don't have time for that. But I think there's just such a fine balance, and but also at the same time, not going overboard, because like we said, we could go down so many rabbit holes with this stuff and get overwhelmed and anxious by all of it. That's not good either, right?
Nope.
That anxiety is not good for your body. So it's really just take the knowledge, decide, you know, what are your non-negotiables, and that's okay. The
Yep.
rest, we just give it to God.
Give it to God. I love it. I love it. Well, and something else I know that you've talked about before that I think ties into food. I think it ties into the fact that I know like me and my generation, if you had a heavy flow or negative period symptoms, you just went on birth control. And I think food and the combination of those decisions in healthcare, we have so many infertility issues too. So it's not just our kids being affected, not just our gut and our immune systems, but it's our fertility. And I have more friends going through infertility than I feel like any prior generation ever had. So I want to hear your thoughts on this because I know that you've posted about it.
Yeah, oh man, the birth industry is a whole nother beast, right? Like it's really hard, and my heart is shattered for people who struggle with infertility. And there's something different about this generation because there's so many people that struggle. And when we come to a time when we're constantly putting meds in our bodies to try and halt something or fix something, like people think, oh, we're on birth control to regulate our period. No, you're not actually having a period. Like you're completely halting it. And then when you take that away, like we think that's going to fix a problem. But really, what you're doing is putting a Band-Aid over the Hoover Dam. And the issues are still there, but they're being stopped and plugged up for a little while. So when you take that Band-Aid off, the issues just come flooding out. They didn't disappear. You're not actually healing your body or anything by going on birth control. And so there's just so much around that in the whole, even the feminist department of I am woman, like I have control of my body. And it's like, oh, it's a lie. And it's not women empowerment. What true women empowerment to me is healing your body and not being a slave to medicine and really understanding your body and your cycle and your hormones. And it takes a lot of work to do that. It does. And I don't say any of this lightly by any means, but it takes a lot of work to really understand your body and heal hormones that have been out of whack. And it's all combined with the meds we're taking, the food that we're eating, the water we're drinking, like all of that impacts everything. And if you're not mindful of it, you're not going to heal your body.
It is really challenging. It's anything food related or medicine related, even just any lifestyle change is going to be a challenge at first. We resist change and we lean into convenience. And that ultimately puts us in these situations. But I tell my clients all the time when I work with them one-on-one in our wellness coaching that hormones influence every single thing in our body. So when our hormones are in dysregulation, it's going to impact so many other areas of your body that you didn't even realize it was impacting, especially when it comes to things like mood. And I know that's where we tend to pick up on a lot of the symptoms is when our cycle comes around and with our mood. And so it's something that I just find so interesting because I know myself was on birth control for a decade of manipulating that process. And then I expected my body to just go right back in sync, and that's not how it works.
Right. Well, and we expect our bodies to just be Amazon Prime. That's like my favorite term right now. Like we expect like, okay, I ate a salad, now I'm fine, right? Like it doesn't work like that. When you have, and I don't mean to say this negatively, but like when we've abused our bodies for years, it's gonna take years to heal them. And that's hard, intentional work, but that's not a bad thing. That's a good work, right? Like when people expect, like, oh, I just want a magic pill to fix everything, or you're not dealing with healing things that are going on with your body, you're going to deal with it eventually. And the cost of that, it takes your, not only your finances, but your time from your family, your energy, your joy, right? Like it all just spirals. And so really getting to those root things and taking ownership of your health is something that I think people sometimes have a hard time to do because it can be considered quote unquote hard, but being sick is also hard. So
It
choose your
is.
hard.
It is truly. And I want to circle back to that because I think that that's what a lot of moms will get out of the podcast is handling the sicknesses. And I know I said we were going to talk more about fever reducers. This is perfect timing because we literally just, my son just had a fever Sunday and what day is it? It's Wednesday. So Sunday and Monday.
Oh.
And I know that panic, even someone you can probably relate to this, even someone that has been using holistic health approaches for a while and feels pretty comfortable in my options, I still hit that moment of panic where I'm like, is it time to bring in something else? Like, and you question yourself as a mom. But what information can you share when it comes to fever reducers, the pros and cons of the medications, and just alternatives that are out there, any and all information here?
Okay, so typically with fevers, there's a lot here that we can unpack. So first of all, main question that I get asked is, what number is too high? And the reality is there is no number that is too high. A temperature getting up to 106 or 108 is extremely rare to happen. The height of the number doesn't matter. And a lot of people think, like, oh, if it hits 102, 103, 104, they're going to have a febrile seizure. Again, that is not necessarily the case. A febrile seizure happens because of a quick jump in the number or even a quick decrease. So it's basically a quick change in the temperature. And it's in toddlers where their brain just isn't as developed to handle that jump. And so their brain basically throws a temper tantrum and it looks like a seizure. Now, they are not fun to watch. They are not fun to witness. It is very scary and it can be hard for the little one, but they are gen febrile seizures are generally benign and don't actually injure the brain. So if that offers any comfort, then that's great. But there really isn't a number that is going to trigger a seizure. So you could also have somebody like, okay, I'm going to give Tylenol because the kid has a history of febrile seizures. I'm going to give Tylenol so that they don't. Well, that drastic drop in the temperature can also trigger a seizure. So, it's hard. You can't necessarily guess or estimate when you're going to get when this is going to happen. But you have to do what you feel best about with talking with your provider and things like that. And that's what I always do. You have to, what I always say, you have to do what you feel best about. Now, then if they have a fever, supporting them with holistic options is always my number one. Now that's we use doTERRA essential oil, so I'll do diluted peppermint and lavender on their forehead, down their spine, just to bring them some comfort. Making sure they stay hydrated, that's the big thing, making sure they're hydrated. So getting some good electrolytes, bone broth, things like that. You can make your own DIY electrolytes. That's always really great. And then obviously like keeping them, not having them tons of blankets on them or giving them tepid baths or a cool washcloth on their head, right? But really, a fever is your body's natural immune response. It's a healthy immune response because bacteria and viruses don't like living in a hot temperature. Your body creates the fever in order to kill them off. So if you decrease the fever, that actually shows that you can, there's studies out there that show you are actually prolonging illness because when the fever is low, the bacteria and virus is like happy and thriving, versus letting the fever go. And that helps fight it. So we generally let fevers ride for 10 days or 10 days, 5 days, five. Anything longer than that, that's where I'd want to bring them in and make sure there's not like a bigger bacterial thing going on that we do might need medicine for. Now, the other thing that I want to make sure is clear that in infants under 3 months old, any fever of 100.4 is an automatic ER visit. And that is always the case to make sure that there's not something more going on. So that is just a safety thing. 100.4 in an infant is an automatic ER visit. Because that, I had somebody slam me on a post recently about that. I'm like, well, that's, yes. That is the one time.
You got to give every disclaimer, Anne-Marie, don't you know?
I really do. I really do. Okay. So when we're doing all the things, then when would I give a fever reducer? So this is where I teach people that behavior rules all. Okay. So if they are super lethargic, like you're going to get sleepy with a fever, right? You're not going to feel great. That's fine. If they're super lethargic, they're not waking up. They're really out of it when they are wake up or like delusional, I would give a fever reducer. And if they are still delusional or lethargic, I would be bringing them in. But if they take the fever reducer and then they're like relatively normal, okay, that's a good thing. If they are not getting good rest, then that is also difficult. So we know that sleep is also really healing. So if it's nighttime and they're not getting good sleep and they're really uncomfortable and they're waking up constantly, that would be another time where it's like, okay, a fever reducer might be appropriate so that they can get good rest. And then the third one is like, if they are not staying hydrated, because with kids, hydration, it can turn so quickly where then you do need to go in for like IV fluids. But if you give them a fever reducer and they're able to drink more and get hydrated, then that's really great. If not, then you'd probably want to bring them in. So those behavior really rules all around fevers and if I'm going to give them medication or not. And then as for the medication, we typically choose Motrin or an ibuprofen medication versus acetaminophen or Tylenol. I do know Genexa has a cleaner acetaminophen. But we know that acetaminophen also depletes glutathione, which is something that your body needs to help. It helps your immune system work well too. So, you know, but it's also like use what you have and it's okay. And you're not, it's not a bad thing to give a fever reducer if you truly need it, if your child needs it, like it's okay. You're not.
Absolutely. I think that's an important reminder. We give these reminders a lot on this podcast because I always say, there's so many judgy mom brands out there that are all or nothing. Like if you give a fever reducer, you are the worst mom ever. And what I want to remind the audience today is like, okay, what she's talking about, take it, empower yourself with the knowledge, maybe try a few more natural remedies next time your child has a fever. But if you are grabbing the fever reducer first thing, because that's what feels right to you, you're a great mom. If you try the holistic approaches and you give it a day or two and you're giving it all your effort with those, you're a great mom. I think we just, deep breath, mama. I think we all need those reminders that it's okay, but knowledge is power. And that's why it's awesome to have guests like you on here just to even just get someone's gears going. And maybe they do a Google search or they read a book or listen to another podcast about it. So
well, and I think it's helpful to know, like, everybody has their own threshold of what they're comfortable with and what they can handle. And if you're in your start of your holistic health, like becoming more holistic, you might not have that big of a threshold, right? And that's okay. You're still trying new things and doing that work. And then maybe next time you might be okay waiting a little longer, right? Like everybody has their own threshold and you got to respect your journey that you're on and know that whatever you're doing is amazing.
Absolutely. In all facets of motherhood, but we want that to go across beyond just holistic health. Even if you're, we have to look at each other as moms and know, hey, she's doing her best. I'm doing my best. And that's okay. Now, when you think about holistic health approaches that you've tried, because you've been in this game for a while now, what's your absolute favorite remedy? Or if you can't pick one, give us like your favorite few.
Favorite remedy for just like general health.
Yeah, just natural remedies for overall health or common coughs, colds, things like that.
So this is where, for me, doTERRA essential oils has been like the mainstay in our home. They are the first thing that I grab for anything that comes up. And I haven't had to really use a ton of other things because of that, because they've helped us in so many different ways. I have countless personal stories about how we've used essential oils for all things. And so those really are the main staple and things that I grab. And what I think is really empowering with using essential oils is that you're teaching your kids also how to take care of themselves. And so I'll have kids, my kids come into my room and they're like, "Mom, my tummy hurts. I need the Tamer roller." And like they know that these oils help them.
Yes.
Or they love picking out what we're going to diffuse in the school room during the day because they know it helps them feel joyful or whatnot, or diffusing calming things at bedtime and creating that restful environment. So I think it's really cool empowering your kids to start using holistic things. And I think oil is just such a fun thing to use.
And so much more harmless. So they can participate in that and they can pick those things and take a little bit of control. We need all those areas as moms so we can give our kids a little bit of control
Oh my gosh,
because
yes.
that always keeps them more bought into our day to day and just makes them feel more empowered. So I love
Absolutely.
it. And I know you share a lot about just different uses of essential oils too. So anyone who's listening, I always fill the podcast description with any links. I know I already, I'm going to put a link to a DIY electrolyte recipe that I know one of our collaborators just posted because I know you brought that up. I'm going to put links to your Instagram and anything else that she sends me, everyone, I'm going to put in there. So you can always reference back to those. But
Sounds great.
another question that I wanted you to answer is if a mom is looking for an in-person holistic health practitioner, holistic provider, what should she look for? Because I think this is such like so much more of an uncharted territory in moms' minds, and they don't know how do you find someone that's credible, that knows what they're talking about, that they can trust. And so are there different things or areas of practice that she should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, so I actually really love Dr. Green Mom has a vaccine-friendly provider list. Now, even if it's not about vaccines, the reason I like that list, because you can find them a provider in your area, it's based on where you live. What I appreciate about that is like if you have someone who's vaccine friendly, I know that they're going to be open to partnering with you and working with you and answering your questions and listening to you. Versus someone who might be more closed off. So for me, for example, with our first provider that told me that Ben needed the varicella vaccine, because even though he had chickenpox, still didn't work like that. That was when I was like, I need to go find somebody else. And so we went to another provider, and at that point, I was just like, I want to ask all the questions. I am in this phase of I'm afraid to do things, but I'm afraid not to do them. And I don't know what to do. And so I went to another provider, met them, and this is when I had two kids, met her for the first time. And she was like, "Oh, you use essential oils? Please tell me you vaccinate." And I was like, "So we can't have a conversation. Great." And I was like, yeah. And I just kind of like left.
I'm skirt out the door now.
Dang it. And so it's just you want to find someone that you feel you can have a conversation with without being judged, without being ridiculed, without being manipulated. And so if you're in a situation where your provider is like making you feel like you are incompetent, I invite you to stand up and walk out. You don't have to stay there. And so it wasn't until I was at like a mom's like big event thing, and I saw this provider on stage talk, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, I need to go find this person. This is who I'm trying to talk to." And we did. We found that clinic, went there, and that's how I also met my current provider, who I absolutely love. She does virtual. If anybody follows me on social media, you know that my code word for vaccine, because there was a period of time where we could not say that word without
Yes.
getting in trouble.
Shadow banned.
So at first it was like jab, but then they started like halting jabs, and then I just call it a jabberwocky. So you can do a jabberwocky consults with her virtually, and she will just listen to you and answer all of your questions without judgment and just give like good statistics and things like that. And so finding a provider that you feel that you can just have a conversation with and be respected in your questions, and somebody that will actually give you true informed consent is really, that's what I would be looking for. And also someone to know that sometimes there is a time for meds. They can be a needed bridge to get over certain things, whether that's mental health or gut stuff or whatnot, right? Sometimes meds are needed to get to a place where then you can do more healing and incorporate more holistic stuff. But working with a provider that is open to getting you off meds and not staying on them forever, if that's not what you
Yes.
want. So
Huge.
that I think is just really who I would be looking for.
I think that you will understand what I mean when I say this, but in the medical community, and we both come from medical backgrounds and degrees and working in hospitals and in traditional healthcare, you can skate by with your continuing education to uphold your certifications and your degrees very easily. Very, very easily. And so, one of the things I personally like to do with any practitioners we work with, because we have also fired pediatricians, is I like to ask them, hey, what do you do to keep up your education and to, stay up to date with current research? What are you actually doing? Because just taking a few online courses or doing what you need, telling me that you do a certain amount of CEUs every other year, that doesn't mean anything to me. I want to know, what are you reading? What are you listening to? How are you trying to understand the up-to-date research? Because a lot of what we do in medicine has been around for years and years and years and years and years. A lot of what we do in medicine has not been around for years and years and years, and we're just now getting research on it, right? And so I like to ask them, because I know I've had times where I've taken some CEU courses just to keep up my certification. Like, we all can do that. But I want to know, what are you doing to really stay up to date on what's happening? Because I think that's important too.
That's so important. And also, just like, are they willing to change their viewpoint of certain things that, we might believe one thing and then all of a sudden now there's new things that are coming out. Are you willing to shift how you care for people based on this? And that's so important. And that's so true. Like, I still have my nursing license. I will keep it. I'll
I still
even though
have
I'm
mine
not going
too.
to practice, but like, I don't know, maybe
I
one day
always tell
I'll
my
do something.
husband I will never go back to traditional healthcare, but I also worked really hard for the certification, so I'm just gonna keep it active.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think that's a bad thing. We'll use it in some way down the line. That's what I keep telling myself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It always comes into play, and I think it led us both where we are. So that's what's important, and now we can help people. But just for any mom who is listening, like, if you feel crazy or you feel like those practitioners are questioning you or belittling you, it's just important to remember that they stand where they stand based on what they've learned and what they studied and how they were taught, but there's also real life and there's up-to-date research, and it's okay for you to ask those questions and to feel that your intuition, like, something is off, and to act on that. And I think that's
And
what Anne Marie and I want you to know.
also get second opinions. Like, you don't, if they're telling you something that you're like, this doesn't feel right, I don't agree with this, go get a second opinion. And I'm not saying like you're completely disregarding something or you're not wanting to use medicine appropriately. It's okay to get a second opinion. And like, some of the DMs I've gotten of recent is just mind blowing to me. Providers that are just like, not wanting to do hormone panels or anything like that and just shove people on birth control. And it's like, that's not helping people. And so you have to be an advocate for yourself. I mean, I had one girl that was telling me she had issues going on for years and they just were not helping her. And it took her finding a functional doctor who did a ton of tests. And now she's finally able to heal her body and she's feeling better. And it's like, if you're not feeling well, you have to advocate for yourself. And know that you're meant to feel well. Your body is meant to be vibrant and thriving, and you're meant to be joyful and not feel crummy. Sometimes we get so used to like, oh, I just don't feel great. And we get used to that and think that that's normal. It's not necessarily normal. And so your body was designed to feel amazing. Thank you, Lord. And finding somebody, you have to be an advocate for yourself to find those providers that are willing to work with you and help you actually heal your body. Because when you do, you're going to be so thankful.
People who are willing to work with you long term. Look, medicine is the quick fix. It's tempting. Hey, I can make this go away by giving you this prescription. That's tempting. Healing your body takes time, and that's not sexy or marketable. It's not as profitable either, but it really is worth it.
It's totally worth it. But for you and your family, like, it's totally worth it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I seriously feel like we could do 10 more episodes. This is great. And I know we could, I told you this whenever I first reached out that we connect on so many different levels. I had to bring you on. My audience is
Love
like,
it.
oh my gosh, right up her alley. But I want to give you a chance before I let you go today. Is there any message that you would just love to share with the Moms Working Overtime community? Anything from, you know, your interactions and experiences that you think these moms need to hear?
Ooh. I guess I just want to say that you're doing amazing and you're doing the hard work. And being a mom in this generation of where sometimes we're just so overwhelmed with information, not sure where to go or what to do with it or comparing ourselves, right? I just want to remind you that you're doing a really great job and your kids are so lucky to have you as their mama. And God gave you those kids for a reason. And just remember that whatever somebody else is doing is not necessarily what you should be doing. And that's okay. Like, find joy and pride in what you're doing for your family. And you're doing amazing work. And it's hard. And I see you. And just keep going. Keep going.
I love it. I am so grateful we could have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much. I know that there's going to be so many mamas that walk away from listening to this and just feel better or take on a new journey. Or even if, Amory, if just one mom looks into holistic practices and just doing something more natural for her kids, we know that that was a win. That
Amazing.
made this
That's
episode worth it.
totally worth it. I love that.
Yes.
Thank
And
you for
so,
having me. This was an
of
honor.
course. Of course. No, we'll have to be connecting and collaborating more. I can already tell.
I'll come
But
on again if you want me to.
yes, I love it. I love it. Mama, she already said it. I finish every single episode by reminding you what I hope you hear in your day-to-day life, but that you will always hear when you come to the Moms Working Overtime podcast, which is you're doing a really amazing job. Okay. And even if this information is overwhelming, even if you're struggling in your motherhood journey or you feel like you look back and wish you would have done something different. Here's the thing. We just show up every single day and try and be a little bit better for our families. It does not have to be doing a 180. And so please remember what we are both telling you, which is you're doing an amazing job. And mamas, we will talk soon. If you loved this episode of Moms Working Overtime, do me a favor. Share it on social media or send it to another mom to remind her that you love her and that she's doing such an amazing job. There's nothing more incredible that we can do in this community than remind other mamas of their strength. I'm so glad you were here today, and just know that I appreciate you an overtime amount.